call me out. You stayed inside. One you love is where you hide. Shot me down as I flew by. Crash and burn. I think sometimes you forget where the heart is. Answer no to these questions.
Tuesday, June 28th, and we are just under a week before our nation, our great nation's birthday. Happy birthday, America, the greatest country in the world, where you can become president even if you're a bigot, a liar, or a woman. Am I right?
2016 years old. It's crazy to think, man.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. It's 2000, America's turning 2016.
See, I thought it was younger than that. So Jesus invented America 2016 years ago.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Pick up a book, dude.
It's science. Welcome to Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man, where you can expect topical jokes like Donald Trump is an idiot. Hillary Clinton is a woman. that's the punchline. Oh, wait, no. All right.
This is going downhill.
Reset.
Reset.
Welcome to Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man. I am Shannon Young. I'm the Five Star Man. No.
That's also untrue.
I'm Mr. 100. My mind's slipping. It's this old age. I've got old timers. Anyway, down at the end of the table, Asa Gray,
hello.
Who is the Five Star Man.
That is me.
Yeah.
Five of them.
Lovely nicknames. And then our producer, winking at you, Ali Abair to our right.
Hi.
It's been an interesting day.
Yeah.
Here's the formula. All right, it's a little... Here's the formula that we normally do on this Tuesday, Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man. Sometimes we have a topic, sometimes we don't. Mm-hmm. Originally, I think the very first episode of this show that we did, because I've always wanted to do a show with Asa specifically, because we've done stuff in the past together and we seem to have a good rapport.
Yes.
People say they like to hear us talk to each other. So we did one, I think when I came back from Pennsylvania last year, was the first one that we did. Or maybe it was the second one.
I think it was the first... One, because you were starting to do the Mr. 100 Presents.
Mr. 100 Presents, which ran out of steam real quick when I ran out of people to talk to because I was too lazy to go out and find people that weren't affiliated with the show.
Right.
The furthest I got was Zach Kurgis.
Mm-hmm.
And that went so well, I had Ethan interview him.
Where do you work?
What's it like being a Christian?
Oh, gosh.
Stellar.
Great show.
Because I was either the first one or like one of the first
ones. You were the first one.
Yeah.
I believe you were the first one. And then... Zach was the second one, I think. Zach Price.
No.
Well, that was the infamous pepper incident where we recorded him eating the peppers in his house. And then I think Dalton was the third.
I don't remember the order at all.
I think that's true. I might be wrong. I'd have to... Cody, research this. Let me know. But we did the Mr. 100, and, you know, we did Presents, and then when Presents was done, we just said, let's just do the show together. Mm-hmm. So we did Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man, and Ali came on a little bit later as kind of an extra who, you know, she has a mic if she has something she wants to chime in. That's the way we do things. And sometimes we have a topic, sometimes we don't. Sometimes this show is incredibly close to the Thursday show, which is just like, just say whatever. But this show originally, it was just supposed to be us just free rolling ideas out there, stuff that we want to talk about, no particular order. It's just me and you back and forth. And somewhere along the line, just with the podcast in general, somewhere along the line, we have gotten so obsessed with one quality. And I don't mean that in a positive way. We've got obsessed with so many things with this podcast that does it sometimes feel like it's not the fun thing that we used to do. Sometimes it feels like it's a chore. Like you don't want to go in and record because it's like, oh, I'm not getting paid for this. Why do I want to do that?
I mean,
am I the only one?
I mean, there are certain nights that I kind of like, I don't really look forward to doing it. Like, especially like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I usually work both jobs.
Right.
So then by the time it's ready to record, I'm just real tired.
Which is great because you usually record on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
On Tuesday and Wednesday, for sure.
Well, Monday, I'm nerd up.
Wink.
Wink.
So, like, there's times that I'm tired, but usually whenever, like, we start talking, it's...
You get more into it.
Yeah, you get kind of into it.
But I think we get that way more when we're just talking as opposed to a topic. Because I've noticed, like, whenever I pick a topic, sometimes the topic's really good, and we just snap on it. We're just great.
Yeah.
Other times, like, I was talking to Hunter today when he was in here, and we'll go 45, 50 minutes. And then we're just kind of cracking jokes back and forth because we don't know what else to say.
Because we ran out of things to
say. Yeah. And I'm looking at the time going, well, we got to pad 10 more minutes on this bad boy.
I will agree with that. Like, especially if it's something that I don't necessarily like feel like I know about.
Yeah.
Like the list one that we did where it's like, okay, pick, you know, the five people that you hate. Like I did research.
Yeah.
Like I had facts and figures in front of me.
The Batman episode, which was fantastic.
If it's something that I already know about, like I feel like I can, but if it's something that I'm not super knowledgeable about or like not really interested in talking about.
And that happens quite a bit with me because I come up with some of the weirdest or most obscure topics or stuff that just infuriates you.
Mm-hmm.
There have been a couple things that I've proposed that you vetoed, or at least said, I don't want to talk about it, but you have.
Yeah.
Like you don't want to talk about Trump.
No.
At all.
No.
We're very selective on what we wanted to say about Brock Turner.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons.
Yeah.
So in some ways, sometimes I feel like I'm not saying everything I want to say because I'm trying to go by what the group wants.
Mm-hmm.
Other times I feel like that's the only thing that keeps me from being pelted with tomatoes the next day because I would say things that are stupid and you guys are basically protecting me from myself.
I don't even think that's necessarily true.
Allie's nodding her head.
She's nodding her head, but I think she'll agree with me when I say this. It's not because, like, we think you'll get, you know, crucified for what you say. Like, you know, like.
That's what I don't
like
say.
A couple weeks ago, like, whenever you thought you made me upset.
Yeah.
It's just because, like, in the heat of the moment, maybe it's real easy to put out an idea that is misconstrued.
Yeah.
Like you don't, you say the words, but it's not interpreted the way that you want it to be interpreted.
Right.
So it's like, I don't necessarily have a problem like avoiding like those kind of scenarios or like helping try to steer you away from that kind of scenario. I just know that there are certain topics like Trump and, you know, the Turner thing and all that, like that it gets to the point where I get either as upset about or it's just like, I don't think, I wouldn't be entertained listening to it. So then I don't see how I could, you know, cause we do try, like, you know, as much as it is just us kind of going back and forth and riffing whatever, like we do try to, you know, make it entertaining for the people who choose to spend an hour of their time listening to us ramble.
And God bless you, by the way.
Right.
And I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
Absolutely.
Every person that listens to this show.
It blows my mind that people actually
listen.
And not like, it's only this show for me. Like, listen to the sports show. Cody does an amazing job.
Yeah.
Of course, people are going to listen to that. Nerd Up.
Like, video games.
It's weekly topics about like nerd culture and news, and it's really good discussion. Like even the episodes that I'm on, but the episodes that I'm not on that I listen when it's, you know, Mandy and Dalton and Jesse and Lindsay
Steph.
Yeah, everybody. Like those episodes are really good as well. You know, the Thursday shows are a lot of fun to listen to. Like then the only reason that I don't do those more often is then I would be on literally every show.
You have taken over the network. You are the star of the network. You're the MVP.
I know this is going to sound like I'm looking for like the reassurance and the, you know, it's like, cause it's like that like the low self-esteem in me, like that just makes me itchy. Like I know why.
You curl up.
People actually want to listen to this. Like, and like Pro Wrestling Unscripted, like that's just a
wrestling's big.
Wrestling's a big topic in general. And there's, you know, people go to all sorts of corners to, you know, listen to opinions and news and stuff like that. So, and especially with the way that it started with like you, Zach, and Hunter.
Yeah.
That
was probably the most fun I had doing the show wasn't when it was me, Zach, and Hunter. Mm-hmm. And that's not a shot at anybody else that does the show. It's just, it was new then. I was in this actual studio.
Yeah.
And it was like, even though I love Podzilla, it was that much more little bit of legitimacy there because I was actually in a studio. Mm-hmm. There were monitors. There was a person at a desk that I talked to when I went in and it just felt
trying to get buzzed in through the door.
Yeah. I felt so legitimate. And I think it's amazing though that we've turned this podcast, which we do from an old white,
plastic table.
Table that Lonnie bought super cheap. Yeah. We've taken this and turned it into this thing that's legitimately global that people from all over the world listen to this show. And it blows my mind too, especially like you said, this one where it's basically just three people that just kind of ramble for an hour.
And really to me, it's just like, I think it's like equal parts narcissism and low self-esteem of it's like, well, I would be the reason that people wouldn't want to listen to this, but people are listening to this for me. Ew, why? I don't know. It's just a weird.
I stopped listening to the shows.
I
don't listen to any show I'm on.
Yeah. I don't listen to the ones that I'm on. I'll listen to the sports show. I listen to the Nerd Up episodes that I'm not on. The Tanner Thursday shows I listen to.
Jesse has done an amazing job over at Nerd Up. Cause I was so critical of him on Pen and Nerd. mm-hmm. with his fake, you know, welcome to Pit and Nerd podcast voice. And he was trying to do the radio thing. Like, you could tell he was trying to be something he wasn't. Mm-hmm. But he's gotten so good at it, and he's done such a good job of portraying his actual personality, and it's witty, it's good stuff, and I'm very yeah. proud of him. Cody, you don't even have to say anything about.
Right.
Because he...
He does it, that's his job.
It's his job. Yeah.
And then he just does this, like, extra hour for us.
Yeah, and...
That he kind of, we kind of just give him the reins, just like, here, do whatever you want.
You know.
Literally.
And then he kills it.
Literally. None of us, he's the only one that does his show completely by himself every week. Occasionally yeah. I'll have a guest on. Mm-hmm. Dalton was on last week. Me and Lindsay were on a couple weeks ago. But generally he does it on his own.
Yeah.
And as someone that's, I think I've done 3 shows on my own, mm-hmm. it's nerve wracking. You'd think it would be better because there's nobody around to stare at you. And that's what I think. Every time I think, I kind of want to do a show by myself. There's no one to look at me. I can get my points across. But if you don't have anyone to bounce stuff off of, it can also yeah. be incredibly intimidating.
Yeah.
You know, just you and a microphone. Mm-hmm. And Cody knocks it out of the park every time. Doesn't miss a beat. Sounds professional. It seems like this podcast has gotten so much beyond me, because this was my ego at the beginning of this. It was everyone tuned in for Shannon. Oh, Shannon's the best. He's so funny and witty and charismatic. And I surrounded myself with people that weren't, like Jordan Lowry and CJ. I surrounded myself with people that were intentionally boring, so that way I sounded even better. But then I made the mistake of getting people that actually were interesting. And now here we are. Here we are.
We.
So I said it was an interesting day. I have a story I want to share. Mm-hmm. And you both know this story already, because Allie, you were here when it happened. Mm-hmm. Ace, I believe I told you.
You sent it in the in our Podzilla group chat.
I don't know. Did I send the entire story?
I don't think you sent. I think you sent the news story.
Yeah, okay. you sent the news story and a video.
Ah, so here's a little personal story. And that's kind of what this show is going to be. It's going to be a very personal show. You know, we don't have any major topics to talk about. We don't have any like super controversial things. Nothing like that, really. It's more of a personal, just back and forth. And my personal story starts today here at 709 Broadway at Gaming Grounds for all your gaming needs. I like that. Guy comes in. He wants to sell an Xbox One. Now, bear with me, because this story's kind of long, but it's got an interesting ending, which will then just slide right into depression. This is the dark.
I like slides.
This is going to be the darkest timeline, Cody. So the guy brings in an Xbox One. He wants to sell it. I test it out, do all the normal stuff. He hands me his ID. I see he's from Mounds, Illinois, which is, I'm from Mound City, which is right across the way. And his name is Casper. I clearly put two and two together and realized Caspers are related to me in one way or another. Ryan, who, you know, does, the podcast about photography. That's great that we did a show about him, mm-hmm. a couple months ago with Mr. 100%. He's out in California killing it. And, he's my cousin. We think. We're pretty sure. If not, we claim it. But he, you know, we talked to him, and yeah, he's related to this guy. I think his name was Hugh Mann.
Hugh Mann.
Hugh Mann.
That's a
nice, Casper.
That's a good name.
Yeah.
Come, he's gunning for your job. He just might get it.
we talk. He leaves, and for some reason, I don't know why the thought struck me. My mom, I don't know if I've ever told this story on the show before. My mother's first husband was murdered by his, I don't know what the relation is to him. I don't know. I'm not good. I'll be the first to say I'm not good with family relationships.
Yeah. First cousin, second, two times removed. I can't.
No clue. So just bear with me. He was related to him. Mm-hmm. We'll just say that. And he was young. I think he was a teenager when it happened. Well, he was, if not a Casper, he was related to them. I remember because Brian told me mm-hmm. once when we were hanging out, guy calls and I hear the voice and he tells me that's the guy that shot your mom's first husband. So I think to myself, this can't be the guy, right? That would just be one of those weird running into each other and didn't know what type of thing. So I start to research it. My mom's first husband was name was John McCoolidge. And my half brother's name is John McCoolidge. So I look up John McCoolidge online. I want to try to get some information, maybe an obituary, maybe a news article about the death. I can't find anything. I look up John McCoolidge, I keep getting these hits for, man murders baby in Kentucky, et cetera, et cetera. The same story keeps popping up, John McCoolidge. But John McCoolidge I know is dead, and the other John McCoolidge I know, his son, my half brother, is, I think, in Maryland right now. We hardly ever talk. I haven't talked to him since my mom's funeral. Anyway. So I'm looking it up. I'm trying to get all the information I can. And then a thought strikes me as I keep seeing this article pop up. It said the guy is like 30. And I think to myself, Okay, my mom's first husband's name was John McCoolidge, which, by the way, she never talked about this, ever. I had to get this from everybody else. She never spoke about her first husband. It was too painful. His name was John McCoolidge. My brother and my half-brother's John McCoolidge. He had a son named John McCoolidge, who I grew up with, like, all the time. Saw each other every day until he was probably around 16 or so. He got into drugs. They moved away. His family did not like me. His mother hated me. His mother told lies about me that I beat my mother, which anyone that knows me and my mother knows that I was a mother's boy, mama's boy. I still am. Every time I talk about her on the show, I cry. So I'm not going to talk about it too much because I don't want that again. But I haven't seen him in 15 years or so. Well, once this thought strikes me in the head, I go, no, can't be. I click the article and sure enough, pops up a picture, his prison picture. That's my nephew right there that I grew up with, who was convicted last year of murdering his, I think it was 3 month old,
6 month old,
6 month old son. Apparently the baby was found in a bathtub and he was so high out of his mind. He had no idea what was going on. And the autopsy showed that not only did this happen, but the baby also had, was it a neck injury and then a fractured skull?
Bruised neck and a fractured skull, I believe.
Which hints that there was abuse going on. Mm-hmm. And John is in prison now for it. I knew none of this because I haven't spoken to my family. I haven't spoken to my mom's side of the family in 15 years. Mm-hmm. I haven't spoken to my dad's side of the family in 5 or 6.
Yeah.
So, you know, you hear me say it on the show all the time. Shannon doesn't talk to his family. That's absolutely true. I don't. I have no family other than my cousin Ryan and Gina and, you know, the people that I consider family, like Lindsay, Bob, you guys. Mm-hmm. I have no family. So my mind is blown now that this happened. And I started to think more and more about it, that this is my mom's only grandson. And this was my mom's only great-grandson that is dead now. Mm-hmm. And her grandson is in jail. And I started thinking about my mom. I started thinking about all this. And then I started to think about my family in general. And I come to the realization that my mother's side of the family, the only one I ever knew from my mother's side of the family was John, my nephew, and then his dad, who I've met occasionally. And was semi-close to at one point when he needed to stay somewhere. So he stayed with us. My father's side of the family, I do know, and I wish I didn't. Mm-hmm. And I realized that of what I know of my family is consisting mostly of drug dealers, addicts, criminals, and killers. And that's the truth. And I started to get real depressed because I made the joke in front of everybody that, wow, I turned out pretty well. Considering that the rest of my family are just fuck-ups in the worst way. But am I? Because for the past couple of weeks and my entire life, really, I have dealt with a depression and a self-loathing that has bordered on irritating to downright crippling. To the point that it has made me make decisions that I came to regret much later. And puts me in a position now to make decisions that I will probably regret later. And the thought that the blood that's flowing through my veins is the blood of drug addicts and killers and all of these people that are not good people really makes me not want to extend my bloodline into society past me. Because everyone, and I'm sure this is before the show when I said I don't want sympathy.
Right.
This is that part that's I was talking about.
Well, yeah. I was actually getting ready to say, is like, now before the show started, you said, I'm going to say something.
Yeah.
It's going to sound like I'm fishing for like reassurance and.
But I'm not.
But you're not. And having said that, it's easy to think that. Like, it's real easy to think that. But you're so much more than, you know, your family, your blood that goes through there. Like, it's.
Yeah. And that's what everybody tells me. And I believe that. That's true. Mm-hmm. But the more I think about it, the more I think about, especially the depression. You know, I read an article today about high functioning depression and how you can be so good in public when you're working on a goal, whether it be this store or Podzilla or something like that. You could be so good at it. And then the moment you're home alone, you go to a place that is so bleak that you can't crawl out of bed. And I've been there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm there now, generally. Mm-hmm. I go home after seeing you guys, and I could be here laughing, and everybody's, Shannon's so charismatic. He's so funny. And then I go home, and I stare at a wall for 2 hours, I don't exist anymore. And between that and just the rage and the bitterness and the fact that I feel like I've become so detached from humanity that I have to, I'm like Dennison sometimes. I have to force myself to feel things.
And I don't think it's,
and I don't know what it is.
I'm going to play, you know, I'm sure no ill could possibly come from me playing armchair psychologist.
Not at all.
So I'm going to throw around these terms like I know what I'm talking about. I don't think it's any secret that you have depression. Like, I remember when we're pretty sure you had a panic attack at the store.
Oh, when Steven's mom
had to come and try to.
I thought it was heart problems.
Yeah.
Because my family has heart issues. That's when I found out that I suffered from what I knew were panic attacks.
Yeah.
But what was confirmed that not just panic attacks, but panic attacks with severe depression.
Yeah. So it's no secret that, and depression is a motherfucker.
It is.
Like, I mean, I have it. I had a brief stay at the hospital.
It's not a joke.
Due to it.
Yeah.
No.
What angers me is there are some people that legitimately say, well, depression's not a thing. Just get better.
It's like, yeah, it's like, I like the comic where it's, if people treated physical injuries like mental illness, and it's like someone's arm is amputated and it's like, well, have you tried thinking positive?
have you tried wishing an arm back?
Yeah.
Like, it's
the power of positivity.
It's gonna fall soon.
I hear that.
It sucks because at least, and I'm speaking purely from my own experience, like it comes and goes. Like Saturday, I had the day off and I actually had plans of stuff I was going to do. Didn't get out of bed. Couldn't do it. Just like I had no desire to do anything. I didn't want to like clean. I didn't want to do laundry. Like all the stuff that I needed to do. Like I was going to come hang out at the store for a while, play some Overwatch with everybody. Like I just, no, can't. I'm going to sleep all day. Yeah. Not really sleep, just kind of lay there and have background noise of reruns of stuff on.
Basically not exist.
And there's like times where, you know, because it comes and goes in waves for me. Like I said, this is all strictly just how it affects me. But it's like, so some days, like some weeks are a lot better. Like today was I had a pretty okay day in general. Like I've been in a decent enough mood. So it's, I don't know, it's weird. So it's, I can relate to having those feelings of just like wanting to just curl up and not exist, not do anything. But you saying like, you know, you're being concerned about your bloodline and like that. It's to me, I this is all strictly, I only have heard stories from you. And so I've kind of filled in the little inch of a story that I have, I filled in the rest of the gaps.
Yeah.
So if I'm way off base, just let me know. But like, I see you being a more stable, you being able to provide more of a stable environment than what some of your other relatives, not necessarily you, because you've been very open about how you were raised and kind of that environment, but like the, you know, some of your relatives, you know, how they were brought up in that kind of home life, you know, that it kind of goes to that whole nature versus nurture argument that, you know, while nature might have a part of it, but you can't, you know, the environment clearly plays
nature
as an issue.
Has a part of it, especially with things like drug addiction, alcohol addiction, that. But if you know that there is that in your family, and you know you also don't want to deal with that, you can avoid it and be raised in an environment to where you will be told, you do have this in your family, we want you to be careful, and then you will...
Nobody told me that. You know, just nobody. Yeah. My family never spoke of things like alcohol addiction and things like that. I drank briefly for about a year and a half ago to 2 years ago. And it was very light. Like I drank a margarita here and there. I would go to Coin Op and have a beer. I didn't really like it, but I kind of just wanted to try it. And then I started drinking margaritas in the morning. And then I'd follow up that margarita with another margarita. Then I would walk to Schnucks and got a bottle of whiskey to drink on the way back. And then I started to think about it. My father was an alcoholic. My brother is an alcoholic. All of these things that you think won't happen to you, that you think, well, that's not me. You know, I won't do that. And then you do it and you can't explain why. I thought, why am I drinking? I don't like it. I don't like the taste.
Mm-hmm.
So why do I have this bottle in my hand? And I stopped drinking. And you know, I've had people ask me, why did you stop? You know, you're just having fun. Do you think that's so bad? I don't think it's bad. I think people that go out and have drinks and that are safe and careful, more power to you. There's nothing wrong with that.
Oh yeah. If you can recognize that you're going, if you can recognize the pattern that's forming, yeah. like that's part of the reason why I started hanging out at the store so much. Cause if I wasn't here, I would just be sitting alone in my apartment, like in my room, playing a game half-heartedly, maybe reading, but I'd really just be sitting there stewing, doing nothing.
Yeah.
But like going out and socializing and like going to the gym now and I'm taking these active steps to try to break certain patterns that I know that if immediately they're not good, they definitely will lead to something worse.
Yeah. It's a slope.
And so with like, especially with like drinking and, you know, even like pot or something like that, it's, you know, if you can enjoy it safely and responsibly and it's not affecting your life outside of those activities.
Right.
Then yeah, go, you know, more power to you.
Yeah.
You know, that's fine. Like, cause I like,
so I know plenty of people that drink and are safe about
like,
it.
Like, I don't drink as nearly as much as I used to. Like, but like, you know, when we went out for my birthday a couple weeks ago, like I had some drinks, but I didn't get wasted. I didn't get drunk even.
Right.
But it's, you know, it's more of the socialization aspect and.
Right. And I've been critical in the past of people that drink socially that, you know, well, why do you have to get buzzed to have fun and things like that? Mm-hmm. And I guess there was a part of me that wanted to see how the other side lived a little bit. Mm-hmm. There was also a part of me that just didn't care anymore. Because I promised my mom I would never drink mm-hmm. before she died. I promised her I would never drink. And then I did. But I, at that point, I was like, who cares? You know, but I'm like you in some ways because it's back and forth for me too. You know, that time period was dark. I didn't show it as much, but I was kind of low. And then I picked myself back up. I had a newfound, I revitalized, you know, mm-hmm. well, I'm not going to drink. I have these goals. I want to do this for the store. I want to do this for the podcast. I started doing the podcast, all of these great things. And it would go back and forth. There was a 8 or 9 month span where I was on top of the world. I was happy. I was, you know, new people I met, new things. Mm-hmm. And it was great. And I was on top. And then about a month and a half, 2 months ago, I started to feel myself slip again into that place.
The clinical word for that is you were manic.
I don't like that word. That word sounds terrible. That's one letter away from maniac. With an axe.
You got kids, maniac?
No, not anymore.
What does that mean? No, it's like it sounds worse than it is. It just means that, you know, you have really high highs and really low lows.
And that is exactly me. And I would sometimes say I was bipolar as a joke, mm-hmm. but it was a joke. So that's the thing is all these things that I now have for real, I used to joke about when the symptoms were there. And I just thought it was crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I'm up and down. I must be bipolar. The worst part about it though is now lately, it's been so down and so few up. Mm-hmm. Before it would go back and forth. And lately it's not been going back and forth. Well, and, I forced it to go back and forth.
And I will say too, like that. And again, this is all strictly just for me, like, the points like Saturday, like, where it's just like real low, like just real low, that's when it feels like, no, this is forever.
Yeah.
It's been like this for months. I don't remember the last time I was really happy.
Yeah.
You just kind of snowball those thoughts.
Yeah.
And it,
cause your mind attacks you.
Yeah. And like, I don't know why I keep qualifying this because I don't want anyone who's struggling with any sort of like depression or anything to think that, oh, well, this is just how it is always. Like,
no,
everyone is going to have their
everyone's
own.
Different. Yeah.
I will take a quick second to plug, like, if you do have, like, you know, if you think that you're legitimately like depressed and it's more than just like the occasional sad spell, like talk to someone.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, like, it doesn't have to be a professional. You don't have to spend money to go see a
no
psychiatrist. If you're a college student, most campuses will have like free, like counseling things to go to. Talk to a parent, a friend, a relative.
Talk to a pastor. There's lots of people you can talk to.
Just, you know,
you are going to college. There's a professor you are close to. Talk to them.
An advisor.
Yeah.
Like, just, you know, there's someone that you can talk to.
Yeah.
I guarantee you. If you don't think there's someone that you can talk to, go see a trained professional. There are hotlines you can call. Like, there's plenty of resources out there. But for me, whenever I have to remind myself, I have to take the extra step to, okay, take a step back. You're in a bad place. It won't be like this forever. You know, I know it feels like it is. I know it feels like it has been.
Yeah.
But it will, it to some extent, it will pass. If it doesn't pass, then talk to people about it. Talk to friends, you know, call your mom, call whoever. Like, there's
I have a problem with that.
Well, I'm talking about me. Oh, again,
sorry.
Shannon.
Sorry.
Oh, you made me just fall.
What's frustrating is that, you know, you said it'll pass.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have to believe that. You have to tell yourself that. But the situation that I'm in now in life in general, and in my personal life, I'm in such an impossible situation that it will not pass. And that's the part that scares me. It will not pass without me hurting someone. And the thought of me hurting someone is so impossible to me because all I want to do is help everybody. All I want to do is make everybody happy all the time. And the thought that I'm going to have to hurt someone in my life, no matter what, in one way or the other, it puts me in such a low point because there's, to me, there is no escape. Mm-hmm. And I've never been suicidal. Well, no, that's a lie. I have been suicidal, but I've never tried it. I've been close. I've had the knife in my hand. I've had the gun in my hand, but I've never put the gun in my head. I never slipped my wrist. I've thought about it and I've wanted to, but I guess I'm kind of like a zombie that you said that I seem to be more stable. I don't want to be like it's on cruise control at this point. Like I can't let myself die. I can't let everyone else down. And I want to, let everyone else down. I want to quit this job just to quit it. I want to push everyone out of my life just to leave me alone.
You want to go into a self-destructive lifestyle?
I want to go to Alaska to die off in the woods somewhere, but I can't. Like there's some part of me that just won't let me. And I don't know if that's
the sane part of you.
Yeah. If it's the sane part of me,
that's the rational part of you.
If that's my mother in me, you know, because she was the shining light, the mm-hmm. beacon of hope in a very dark family bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some part of me that just won't let me quit. Like even now with the impossible situations,
mm-hmm.
I always look for new ways to fix it. I could give up. I could give up and I want to give up, but I'm not going to give up. So I don't think this is going to end. And when you think that it's not going to end, what do you have to look forward to? It gets bad. And I don't know. Sometimes it's so bad that I just don't feel like, I feel like I'm going to explode. Like I can't take it anymore. I just can't take this anymore. But. You know, then I get up the next day. Let's do it again. The way of life.
Wee.
Yeah, let's talk about something happier. We just spent 30 minutes on that. Let's talk about something happier. I know it sounds weird to shift that way.
Well,
like, I don't have a good segue. No, I don't have anything.
And honestly, like this is almost turning into the show that you refused to do, which was the depression show.
Well,
cause I mean, it's, you know, like, you know, it's no secret that when I was in college, I was going through some things and my roommates and friends actually had to call the police and they gave me the option of you can come with us and we're going to take you to the hospital or you can go with them and they can take you to the hospital, but you're going to the hospital. Like that's just what's about to happen. And so that's like, and so I spent, I think it was like 2 days, in the stress unit, is what they call it.
The nut house.
There wasn't, but unfortunately there was no, Silent Indian. Sinbad or Rob Thomas were not there.
That's the real disappointing part.
Yeah.
Did you lose your memoirs while you were there?
I didn't. I hadn't started them yet.
Oh.
but don't worry. They have
begun. It's coming.
with sketches.
Which would be great since Dalton can't read. He can just jerk off to the pictures.
Sometimes I catch him pounding off in the couch. They prescribed me antidepressants that I didn't like. I tried a couple different ones and they just did not, they made me feel hazy. Like I couldn't. I didn't feel like I was properly functioning, so I told my doctor, and they're like, okay, well, we're gonna wean you off this batch. We'll try back in a second batch, but I never went back to the.
I just, not to interrupt that part of the story, but the same thing. They put me on because they said I was very specific. I had a very, very specific medication mm-hmm. that would both serve as antidepressant and mm-hmm. as an anxiety pill, anti-anxiety. So they put me on one. And they told me, here are the possible side effects, although here are the very low ones. Mm-hmm. One of the very low, all right, here's getting real personal. One of the very low ones was impotency.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very low one.
Which that's actually a pretty common side effect in antidepressants.
But they told me you probably won't get it. I did.
Yeah.
I did hard. Well, not hard was the problem. And not only that, but I was, someone asked me, you know, 2 weeks into it, how do you feel? Do you feel depressed? I said, no, I really don't. Oh, so you're good. No, I'm not. I don't feel anything.
This is weird.
Yeah. I'm,
and it takes time for, it really takes time for your body to adjust to the meds so you can go, so you can get to normal.
I quit quickly.
And also the issue with a lot of medicine, I guess,
pills,
but the way to help with depression or other mental disorders like depression of medicine is that it's completely different for everyone. And then whenever you don't have a physician that you trust, then there isn't a good communication between you and your doctor. And
I know no one can see this, but I'm smiling because I had the worst doctor.
He's smiling really
bad. This is unrelated to any of my depression, like, stuff, just in general.
If you get on a pill and you don't feel right, but you don't want to tell your doctor, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
If you are able to talk to your doctor and say, this is how I'm feeling, this is how I want to feel.
Yeah.
And then they can work with you. It's going to be a long, hard process.
Or not hard, in my case.
Okay. But it could work out in the end, but it is a difficult thing.
There came a time, and Ace, tell me if you felt similar to this, because maybe you didn't. Maybe this was just me. But it came to a point when dealing with the depression that when I was on the pills and I was hazy, what's the side effects? They told me, well, you know, we can try different ones that'll do this and that to you. And then I got resentful. I thought to myself, well, no, the depression is me. It's a part of me. I don't want to become someone different. I still want to be me. So part of the reason I stopped taking the pills, even though I knew that the depression would be there, was I thought I could control it myself. Maybe it's arrogance. It's hubris.
I wasn't so wrapped up in the depression as much as, like, that's what was defining me. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, that was, it's kind of like
I do my best work when I'm depressed. Like, that's legitimate.
Like Robin Williams and, you know, like these other famous comedians who have, you know, come forward as having depression and, like, you know, or have taken their own lives, sadly. It's a thing where, you know, when you're in public, that's not the side you show.
Right.
That's the side that's behind the curtains that no one really notices.
Like, or here at the store.
Like, yeah.
Or on this podcast.
So for me, like, I never really was worried about if the depression went away, then I would be different. But whenever I was like, and what I told my doctor, like, I was like, I can't put that on that. Like, I can't mentally put a block on it whenever I'm at work or whenever I'm with my friends or whatever.
Yeah.
Because now there's just nothing.
Right.
Like, I'm just like out of it. I just felt.
You were there, but you weren't.
The medicine, while it may have eventually like made me better, like the in between time, that's when I did feel like a different person.
Yeah.
Like it was, I couldn't, I felt like slower almost.
Yes.
You know, like, yeah. I'm sure it's one of the most lovable qualities that our listeners all love and my close friends love, that
yes.
If a thought, like a joke pops into my head as people are talking, like, oh, that thing, like it just happens
really loves
and I can throw it out there.
Yeah.
But whenever I was on the medicine, there was nothing.
You look like the goddamn sloth from Zootopia.
It'd be like when Charlie thought he could speak Mandarin and Frank was trying to, like, he would have something he wanted to contribute, but he had to read the translation.
Yeah.
Like, he had to try to translate it. So he was like 5 minutes behind the conversation. Yeah. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
And that's the part, that's what I hated the most, was because it, like, I don't have real high self-esteem, but sometimes I think I can be funny. And when it took away my ability to think I was funny, like, that's what was like,
And, you know,
I can't
that's
deal with that.
Extremely accurate to how I felt. The same thing. I thought, this is stripping. Part of my charm is the darkness that dwells inside of me. And I'm not trying to be dramatic. That darkness that's inside of my heart has spawned a lot of creations. Podzilla, Blogzilla, the stories that I wrote, the poetry I write, the songs I wrote. A lot of that comes from that dark place. Because I like to think that I can see humanity from so many different angles, including the worst sides of humanity, and that it makes you stronger, a stronger person, because you're not just ignorant to how terrible things can be.
Mm-hmm.
So I would channel that darkness to do things. Whenever I got on those pills, and I don't remember the name of the pill, I wish I did, but when I was on that, I didn't feel that darkness, but I didn't feel anything. It took away the parts of my personality that I base on the depression was gone. And then I thought, who am I now? I'm just standing here. I'm still polite.
And that honestly happens.
I don't have that personality anymore.
And that kind of happens with like addicts too. Like Chris Hardwick talks about when he quit drinking, it's like, okay, so I no longer have alcohol. Well, crap. It turns out that all of this stuff that I like, that's wrong with my life, that really didn't have to do with the alcohol. That's just one less thing that I can't blame everything on.
Yeah.
So now I actually have to go through this like drastic life change to do that. And I don't want this to sound like we're bashing antidepressants or anything like that.
No.
Because
not at all.
It's just for us personally, it didn't work. We didn't show the patients that it might have required.
Right.
Like but you know,
it was entirely on us.
When I talked to my doctor about it too, I was like, it's making me feel this way. I hate it. Like, and so they eventually, after, because I had also agreed to like go see a therapist on campus, so they agreed to not force me to take anything, but they're like, okay, well, we're not going to write you a new prescription unless your doctor thinks that you should, you know, if there's something that your doctor thinks you should be on. So because I guess at a certain point it became, they thought that it had become manageable enough that I wasn't a threat to myself or others.
For a more, because you two kind of, it sounds like, with medicine, didn't have the best reaction with it, and so,
and
I couldn't get my dick hard.
But okay,
wait, is that what you were talking about?
Yeah,
oh, I didn't.
For anyone else who is, even though you said you're not bashing antidepressants, mm-hmm. sometimes hearing a positive story with antidepressants and good doctors,
mm-hmm. well,
and there's one.
Oh, go ahead. Do not give me the friendship wave. No, I'm not going to get angry. It's just when you said about positive like stories, I have a story about that. Okay. I'll do it after this.
I just know over talking with someone about it who has been on what sounded like antidepressants or other medication to help with that, noticed when she was getting into kind of a slump. And contacted her doctor and said, okay, this is what's going on. Right now I have a lot of stuff I need to get done. How can you help me get through this? And the doctor responded, okay, I know what's going on. We're going to either up your dosage or do whatever. And she was like, I love you. This is great. I'm doing great. And someone else was like, yeah, I talk to my doctor all the time and they always help me out. And so these stories do happen. It's not that you're going to get antidepressants and then it be awful.
Not get erect.
No, yeah.
I can't do this anymore.
What? That was a real side effect.
It is. I know it is.
No. No. So here's Shannon at the time, years ago with a lovely, lovely lady. And here's Shannon not able to become erect, and you laugh and go, well, that, why are you telling that story? If you think it's funny, it sounds funny, but if you are in a position that your body is not reacting properly and you can't get yourself to do things that you have done 1,000 times before, it is frustrating and it is depressing. It adds to the depression. I'm not saying this just as a joke. The fact that I could not get erect because of these pills made me so depressed because I felt like less than human. I felt like less than a man. And that's an awful feeling.
No, yeah. And
so I know we're joking, but in all reality, it was actually traumatic for me.
Yeah, it's like, and a lot of that it is a pretty common one too, like
and
the common effects
horrible.
That they have.
It really is horrible. Also, what I was telling you about the story, I actually researched this drug after I started taking it. I probably should have done that beforehand, but I started researching it and every page I read about it was how awful it was. And if you get on it, if you try to get off of it, it is the worst experience of your life. You will be miserable. So I only took the drug for about 3 weeks and I said, I don't want to experience this long term. So I got off of it. And just in those 3 weeks, the moment I stopped taking it, I was sweating profusely for no reason. I was dizzy. I couldn't function. I remember that.
Like yeah. Being at work when you were.
Oh my God. It was horrible. It felt like I was having withdrawals.
Mm-hmm.
It was god awful and it was no fun. And also, That same misery, that self-loathing that I have, that hatred for myself and most things, that's another thing that I'm scared to let go of. I know that sounds stupid, but I'm scared to let go of the part of me that hates me because I feel like that's the only part of me that tells the truth. Because it's so easy to convince yourself that things aren't as bad as they actually are, but that part of you that is so negative Maybe it's just tricked me, but I feel like that's the only part of me that's honest.
It's also easy to make yourself believe that things are worse than they actually are.
It's true. It's all in my head.
It works both ways. And with that, if you are seeing a doctor and new to you and they are wanting to get you on a drug, it's okay for you to say, I want to do research. I want to know everything about this, and wait.
It's also okay that when you walk into the room to get the new drug, to play Huey Lewis in the news, I need a new drug.
You are trying so hard to segue. Oh, that was the most heavy-handed segue ever. Which
I didn't even think about that.
You liar.
No, I didn't. Liar. I swear to God. But since we're there.
Well, okay. Just real quick. But and then we can drop it after this. If this is purely anecdotal. Everything we've said so far is purely anecdotal. If don't let it convince you to not talk to someone or not talk to
absolutely.
A doctor because we happen to have some bad experiences.
I'm not doing it right. That's just the truth. I'm not doing it the right way.
I had a negative experience with it, but I talked with my doctor and, you know, I'm at a point now where I can manage. And like, if I know that I get to a point where I won't be able to anymore, then that's when I know I need to make another appointment. So it's, you know, talk to someone. If you do find yourself in crisis, like, you know, there are numbers you can call. There are resources. Go to the hospital. You know, call family, call friends, call someone.
You're not alone.
Yeah, and you're not.
You're not.
It feels like you are, but you're not. Yeah. So speaking of Huey Lewis and.
All right. We announced on Facebook today.
Earth-shattering news.
You know, we have a lot of listeners, and I feel like we're about to lose a lot of them because we're going to make an announcement.
We're probably about to lose some more friends.
Yeah. I just added a few back today, too, and I'm about to lose them really
bad. Grand opening, grand closing.
Yep.
Yeah, damn it. Earth-shattering news. You're going to hear it here first before you hear it from gossip sites, before TMZ picks it up, or
for
Gawker.
Salon. Well, not Gawker.
Owned by Hulk Hogan now. Our big announcement.
Well, and let's preface it with a little bit of a story.
Okay, go ahead.
So we're at the store. I get off work today, come in, and I don't remember what got us onto the topic of Ghostbusters.
I think it was the Japanese video.
It was the official Japanese version,
which is weird.
So any other Japanese person that tries to do a cover of the Ghostbusters song,
bootleg.
It is bootleg. It is the nation of Japan does not recognize it as official.
It's bootleg.
They came together as a country, and they proclaimed that this is the official Japanese Ghostbusters theme.
It's not that good.
It's
I said it.
It's no baby metal.
It's really not.
So, and you asked me, and you're like, well, I think I might like the Fall Out Boy version better. That's when I was like, I actually still haven't heard it. I just remember it getting posted in the group chat and just absolutely sounding like this is Osama bin Laden has been reincarnated as a song.
Mm-hmm. You feel like you're going to hit play and it's just a baby bunch of whales dying.
Yeah. There's no rhythm. There's no beat. It's just like sounds of like animal torture.
It's just Andy Dick.
It's and so you pull it up and we listen to it. I like it.
I also like it. Allie?
I like Fall Out Boy.
Everyone goes, oh, well, I like Fall Out Boy.
Because whenever that first clip got sent in the group chat, and it's just like, well, I like Fall Out Boy. So, I mean, there's, you know, their last two albums were phenomenal.
Yeah.
Save Rock and Roll is one of my favorite albums.
Yeah, it's a great album.
Listening to it, like, at the beginning, like, he's not really singing. It's almost like he's doing this weird, like, kind of sped up song sing-talking.
Yeah.
And I'm not a huge fan of that. But otherwise, like, there's nothing wrong with that song.
No.
Outside of it's not the original one.
Yeah.
And, you know, we gotta grow up sometime, guys. There is plenty of room for different adaptations.
And then so we listen to it, I'm like, okay, this isn't terrible. This is not, you know, this is not cancer.
No. Unlike some sites, which have literally said the new Fall Out Boy Ghostbuster song is cancer. It's not quite as bad as I imagine someone at some point is going to say the Fall Out Boy song rapes music.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. So then you're like, okay, well, here's the Missy Elliott part. And I kind of braced myself because.
You were getting ready for the cringe.
Yeah, I really was because I'm not a huge Missy Elliott fan in general. I can only really remember her one song.
I can't remember that.
But
excuse me. Can you please rap it for us?
I probably could, but I'm not. But so, and then the Missy Elliott, and it just kind of sounds like generic female rapper. Like that could have been Nicki Minaj and I wouldn't have noticed.
No.
So
but it was harmless.
It's harmless.
It was catchy.
I probably would have liked it more if it was just like a full Fallout Boy song.
Yeah.
But Missy Elliott didn't take away from it.
No.
And then the ending, the only part that I'm really disappointed in is the part that you really like and I really like where they do that real quick, that like guitar riff.
Yeah.
I kind of wish that was the song.
Through the whole song?
Throughout the whole thing. But it was a cool little nod. Like,
it was. And it's a good song.
There's nothing wrong with it.
No. And in fact, not only is there anything wrong with that song, but I also made fun of the G-Eazy song and listened to it. I liked it. I made fun of the L. King songs. I never heard of her. I liked it.
I like L. King.
There's a Pentatonix version of the theme coming out from the soundtrack.
And we saw their Ninja Turtle song.
The Pentatonix Ninja Turtle song?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing.
I didn't either until today.
Yeah, I'm disappointed in myself that Pentatonix did a Ninja Turtle song.
The Ghostbusters soundtrack looks good. Like, this takes me back. This feeling I'm getting from this soundtrack takes me back to when I was a teenager. And one of my favorite soundtracks ever was the Beverly Hills Cop 3 soundtrack. And listening to that hybrid of rap, R&B, and like NXS rock, this is what that reminds me of. It's just a movie soundtrack, and it sounds so cool. I love it.
I'm pretty sure I've said it before on the podcast, but I will say it again. The greatest movie soundtrack of all time is Snakes on a Plane.
For like three songs?
No.
For the whole thing?
The whole thing is great. It's remixes of songs, but it's like The Bronx, Panic at the Disco, Fall Out Boy, Cobra Starship.
I love the Cobra
sounds.
Starship song. Coheed and Cambria? I don't know if you mentioned him.
Yeah, I didn't say him, but I'm pretty sure they're on
there.
Wake
Up, the acoustic version?
Great soundtrack. I'm real bummed. It used to be on Spotify. It's not on Spotify anymore.
Have you heard Beverly Hills Cop 3? Do you like Terrence Trent D'Arby?
I don't even know who that is.
You know what soundtrack I'm excited for?
Huh?
Suicide Squad.
Yes. The more I find out about that, because that the Heathens by 21 Pilots, that song's really good.
With the music video is really good. Apparently, Panic at the Disco is doing a cover or remake of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, that'll go over well.
See, and that's like that.
Ghostbusters
like,
all over
personally,
again.
Personally, I'm excited to hear their version.
Yeah.
But Bohemian Rhapsody is one of those songs where maybe just leave it alone. Like we at work,
there's a lot of people that feel that way about Ghostbusters.
No, oh yeah, and you know? Like, and that's fair. But I'm also not going to try to crucify everyone involved.
No,
covering it. Yeah. Now if Leslie Jones tried to cover Bohemian Rhapsody, find her address
or Ghostbusters. Like,
yeah.
Well, you gotta call.
Stop it. Like there's a version of Hey Jude that gets played at work and it is bad. Like if you're going to cover a Beatles song, don't. Like what is wrong?
If you're thinking about covering this song,
they nailed it the first time.
Yeah.
Like we're done.
Well, see, I feel they nailed the Ghostbusters theme song the first time with I Need a New Drug. That was a great Ghostbusters song. Hey, we only got about 8 minutes left and we still want to do these fan questions, you know, both of them. But before we do, I want to mention, I thought we were going to make a bigger deal out of this, but I didn't think we would talk about the depression for so long, but I'm glad we did because I felt it was a great thing to talk about and it feels good to get it out. Last year at this time is when they legalized gay marriage all across the United States. And of course, this gave way to the great movie of Angel and Denim, the Kim Davis story, but we won't talk about that. That's different show. But again, we did that great, we actually announced it live, quote unquote, during the Pro Wrestling Unscripted with Zach and Hunter, which was pretty cool. And then we did a great show, me, you, and Jesse, about, I mean, we basically said we won. Not being homosexuals ourselves, we still felt proud that that common sense and human rights won on that day.
Right.
Well, a year later, a lot of tragedies, of course, the Orlando shooting, a lot of terrible things happening, but we still want to celebrate.
Bombing in Turkey today.
Which yeah, we don't, 36 dead so far.
We don't have many. We would have done probably a bigger section of the show based on that, but there's still kind of loose details.
Yeah,
and
it's kind of in the dark. But with the gay pride thing, there was a gay pride, what would you call it? Event parade over the weekend in St. Louis.
Yeah, it's just
pride. And a friend of the show actually went to it. And I think it's important. She sent me this,
statement.
The statement. And I'm going to read it because it's really, really cool that they got to go and experience this. And this is their statement because I asked them, so how was it? You know, I didn't get to go to it. I've never been to one. What's it like? And they said STL Pride was expecting about 100,000, I heard, in attendance. The parade is always on Sunday. Now, Friday and Saturday can get a little wild from what I've heard, but Sunday is as family friendly as it can get. Now, it's important to mention that just real quick, because when people think of gay pride parades, the first thing you think of is dudes are having sex with each other on floats. I mean, you think the dumbest things.
You can't help but go to like the stereotypical, right. Like every movie or TV show that's ever had like a pride event always has
the over
super
the top
inappropriate outfits.
Yes.
And
yes. Yeah. But they go on to say that there's everyone from toddlers to old gay men at these things. Heck, we had a 14-year-old with us. The only people who are not welcome at Pride are homophobes. You'd think that would be just...
like, hopefully. Yeah.
Hopefully.
Like, maybe just stay home today.
There's a lot of calling people beautiful. There's a lot of thanking people for their support. There's a lot of smiles and hugging and kissing and yelling, but there's nothing super sexual about it. Granted, yes, the Bears of STL, which I don't know how Bob's not a part of that, do have a float, and I did see a few people with dog collars and leather on, but I saw a lot of church groups and groups to help teens with unsupportive families. I saw supportive politicians, Target, Starbucks, Macy's, and a whole bunch of other businesses also showed their support. Oh, gosh, I just skipped past it. Here we go. Someone went by dumping glitter on outreached arms. I got a rainbow painted on my arm by someone running through the crowd with a sponge dipped in paint. There's multiple signs supporting Orlando, trans rights, and the Black Lives Matter movement. There's an AIDS quilt because even though it's not the 80s anymore, that still happened. It absolutely happened. Pride's a weird event in that it's half party, half mass support group, half political and half fun. The judges booth for the parade had all the pride flags, gay, bi, pan, trans, and even ace demi. I don't know what that means. So if someone wants to clarify that one for me, I actually don't know that term. I'm not joking. That's just true. I saw someone wearing a asexual demisexual tank top. Maybe that's what it is. Asexual demi. I don't know what demisexual means.
I have an idea, but I don't want to
embarrass
myself by getting it wrong.
I probably mispronounce it. Cody, research this for me. Tank top, and somehow felt really validated. Most people don't even know what that is. Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't see any protesters. I heard at LA Pride the protesters got drowned out by a gay motorcycle group revving their engines. That's awesome. And I think that sums it up pretty well. Yeah, it gets political, but it's more fun than anything else. You don't have to be gay to go. You just have to be supportive. That sounds cool. That is something that I would like to see in person.
And it's like I posted on my Facebook, and I think we might have mentioned it on the Orlando show, the cast of It's Always Sunny.
Yeah.
There's not a single episode of Podzilla that goes by without some sort of
Sunny reference.
Sunny reference. Yeah. We've already done multiple today.
Oh, yeah. No! But no!
the whole cast going to LA Pride and like those pictures.
They sent me a picture of that because that shirt, you can pee next to me. There are a lot of people wearing that shirt at the Pride thing.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. And we, again, there's nothing to this. We just wanted to state how happy we are that human rights won that day.
Right.
And a year later, we're glad that despite all controversy, despite all negativity and tragedy, that human rights still win.
And I think John Oliver, when he did his really moving kind of intro, before his normal show, right after Orlando
shooting,
where he
said,
you know, this one person committed an act of evil, but here is the half mile long line of people wanting to donate blood.
Right.
Like that one person is severely outnumbered.
Yes.
And that's nice to be reminded of.
It is. It's a good thing to celebrate.
Yeah.
Last thing before we clock out here tonight, we asked you guys to just ask us some questions because I didn't know how much we were going to be able to fill the show with no topic. Mm-hmm. Turns out we did a fantastic job. I love this show. This is already one of my favorites. But we did get a couple questions from Aaron and Lindsay. So, Lindsay, because I specifically said, hey, ask some questions.
Because we only had, because
it's just Aaron Picard.
Because Aaron did his job.
He did. Aaron is like, he is truly king of the peanut gallery. He's not even here.
Yeah.
He's just.
Did you do a Mr. 100 Presents with him?
No.
Why?
We need to. Well, maybe we'll get a
schedule that.
We'll do a Mr. 100 and Five Star Man Presents and Producer Presents.
Thank you.
The produce. So. I have to tell this story real quick. I have to tell this story before we get to the questions. When I was online the other day, I was home alone and I was looking up, I think it was on IMDb or some different site, and there was this picture of like it was an actress. And I think she was a legitimate actress, not that kind of actress. But I didn't know who she was, and I thought, well, she's really pretty. So I right clicked, and if you know you can Google, you can right click a picture and hit search for image.
Mm-hmm.
So I searched for the image and it said no hits found. Closest suggestion was furniture. I'm not making this up. But there's this I forget what movie it was that said women are furniture. I think it was Family Guy, actually. And that immediately popped in my head. Oh. Good stuff. All right. Questions. Aaron Picard, the king of Podzilla 1985, or the prince of some kind. How does one dress for jury duty? I need to know before tomorrow. I mean, if you want to get out of it.
I was going to say, like, now, this question can be answered two ways. Do you want to be selected or do you want to be sent home?
Isn't he like a pastor of some sort? Somewhere? Or something?
Why? Can he get out of it for that reason?
Yes.
Well, the two times I had jury duty, the second time they actually, struck a deal before, right before, after the jury.
Went to trial.
Before it went to trial. So I sat around for hours and then went home. Mm-hmm. My dad tore up the check they sent me because he didn't know what it was from.
If you are any form of clergy, I believe, you can go in and say that you have a moral bias and they will send you.
Well, I can use that too because I was a criminal. I'm a criminal justice. I have a bachelor's in criminal. I need to stop. I always catch myself saying, oh, well, I majored in criminal justice. No, I have a bachelor's degree in criminal justice.
I don't have a degree in justice, but the first jury trial that I was a part of, my family's lawyer was the defense attorney. So as soon as they got to me, I was like, nah, that's my guy. What's up, Mike? Mike O'Shea? He's dead now. He ain't hearing this. Or he is.
So Aaron, if you think that jury duty would be something you would enjoy doing.
It's a good time.
Just a dress shirt and tie.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Slacks.
What he normally wears, because he's usually dressed up pretty well.
That's actually very true. Yeah. If you just want to be immediately dismissed, I would go mismatched shoes, cut off jeans, but like, trashy cutoff jeans, like.
What is trashy about that?
What is it? Tell me, dude. What is white trash about this? Yeah, the Charlie Kelly cutoff jeans where you can't even put your phone in your pocket.
Right.
And then no shirt.
Do you suggest wearing the shirt that says, I don't discriminate, I hate everybody? Or something like that?
If you have a shirt about voices.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't do it. The voices told me to.
Maybe a Randy Orton, I hear voices in my head. Then just don't tell them it's WWE related.
But chances no, just get, okay, know. No, what you're gonna do is you're gonna get just a plain white t-shirt, and then just draw whatever your heart feels like.
Yeah.
Just sketch that, but make sure it's upside down in Sharpie.
Yeah, and go to that place. Go to that place to help you. He also wants to know, how do I add levity, how do I add levity into my life?
By listening to Podzilla 1985.
Good call. I spent the morning listening to Talk of Jericho.
Not this episode, maybe.
Ooh, yeah. Did you read the rest of it?
No, but I know what last week's Talk is Jericho is about.
Oh, yeah, he says, I feel real bad reading this now, considering what we talked about for the first 40 minutes. I spent the morning listening to Talk is Jericho interview with Chris Benoit's sister-in-law and read Pat Summitt tributes, so I need something lighthearted for the sake of my emotional well-being.
Oh, no. So, sorry!
So, Aaron, if you're still listening to this...
If you're still alive...
If this... Maybe you're listening to this next week. We've already had you on. Boy, wasn't that great. How much fun was that?
Also, what is your most irrational fear? My most irrational fear. My most irrational fear.
Oh, goodness.
That's.
I feel like most of my fears are pretty rational.
The thing is, I feel like I'm a...
Some of mine aren't.
My only irrational one is, I think, apparently, like, I used to think I was special because I would be only one person thinks, but then, like, I think it might have been Chris Hardwick, it might have been, like, someone else talking about, like, anytime they're on, like, something really tall, that thought just kind of pops, like, what if I just jumped? Like, what if? Or, like, what if I just, like, pushed this person?
I got it. I got mine. It's when I was younger, so it doesn't really apply now. But back when I wasn't super religious, but I was super, like, I truly believed in heaven because I was younger, and that's just what I believed. That's what I was told. Mm-hmm. I was afraid that I would die old and I would spend eternity old in heaven because I wanted to be young and handsome. That is a true story. Allie, stop it. Stop judging me.
No, that was great.
Thank you.
I love that.
What's your most irrational?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I mean, the fear that I can think of the most is, like, whenever you're in a high area, but my thing is always, what if this railing broke, and I just fell?
And tumbled over?
See, and I don't know if I would call that irrational.
That's a legitimate concern.
What if this is shoddily, like, that's why I don't go to the fair anymore. Cause I've seen the people that put those rides together.
Oh, yeah.
As a kid, Black Tar
Heroin in blue.
I love it.
Yeah.
But now I'm just like,
Now you're like, now, oh, no, people are, Man.
Two from Lindsay real quick. Alternate universe question. Alternate or alternative, whatever. You now live in a world where domestic animals are vicious and wild and the rest are now our domestic friends. What do you have for a pet? You live in a world where domestic animals are vicious.
So like,
predators are prey and prey are predator, I'm guessing.
Like house cats and dogs are the ones roaming the Serengeti, like killing the wild, evil bat, like hamsters and guinea pigs.
But now those animals are now domesticated.
Yeah, and then like tigers, lions, and
bears.
What would I have as a pet?
Crocodile?
Yeah. Valley? I'm sure there's some turtle that's wild.
Fox.
Most of them. Fox? Finnick fox?
Any kind of fox.
I would pick, elephant.
Because
elephants like a living, it's like a living tank.
They are super smart too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They never forget.
They don't.
Last question. it's Pokemon.
We weren't doing any more Pokemon
God
shows.
Damn it. You are given an Eevee. What evolution do you aim for, or do you keep the cute little thing as it is? I sell it. I sell it for crack. I don't care. Fuck
crack.
A Pokemon. Fuck an Eevee.
I don't know.
No.
What are the gym leaders in my area? What's the type advantage? Am I able to breed this Eevee?
Do they have a gym leader at St. Francis? You know?
He was the patron saint of animals.
You can just keep Eevee.
I just want
He's basically a fox.
He kind of is a fox with bigger eyes.
Fox is just like a dog.
And he says Eevee.
I'm going to go with Umbreon because it looks like the most depressed one.
Damn
you it. Okay, you take Umbreon.
I was going to take Umbreon.
I'll take the gay one.
Really?
Does he smoke?
Oh,
that's where I was going.
That legitimately
with that.
Got me. Too. I'm not proud of that. He posts an Onion article and it says like new anti-smoking ad tells teens that it's gay to smoke. And I was like, "Are you what? Who could possibly?" And then I looked closer at the thumbnail. And I was like, wait, I think those are the, and I clicked on it and it was like, and I saw Onion News Network. I was like, no, they got me.
And then you look behind you and I was there doing the fishing motion. I hooked you. I got you. All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. And I want to thank you guys for listening to this. This is a very important show to me. I'm really glad you were here for it. We're going to be back tomorrow with Pro Wrestling Unscripted, myself, Allie, and Asa.
Oh, I have things to talk about.
We have stuff to talk about. It's another big week. And then Thursday, we'll have a non-Pokemon related show. Saturday, Cody's doing sports, and then unless I'm wrong, I need to talk to Jesse. I believe next week we're actually taking off for the 4th of July. We're going to take the entire Independence Week over off, hopefully, because we deserve it. We work really hard on this show. We really do. Just coming in here for an hour after a hard day of work and being here till almost midnight and then going home and editing, we deserve a week off. We'll let you know. We'll update you more. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you tomorrow. Asa, take us out.
New Blink-182 album comes out July 1st, and it's basically just the new Plus 44 album because Tom DeLonge or DeLonge or whatever his name isn't in Blink-182 anymore, and I'm super excited.
You know why he's not in Blink-182 anymore?
Because he's going to go chase UFOs.
He went off to chase UFOs. Oh, I wish Tanner were around to talk about that. All right, we're going to talk about that on Thursday. See you tomorrow. Good night.